Today with Joseph Prince.
Jesus, one of the reasons he came is to conquer death and to rise from the dead bodily. Amen. He rose from the dead bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. To tell us, because I live, you will live also. Amen. And our bodies, the rapture is nothing more than you receiving your final gift, the victory that was purchased at Calvary's cross. And that's your brand new body. Amen. If your loved one has gone on ahead, don't see your loved one in the grave or cremated or whatever somewhere. Let me tell you this, God is able to get all the power by which He subdued all things. He can get even their cells over in the ocean. He's able to get them. All atoms are not lost to God. He created atoms. He'll bring them all together in the glorious body. This is the victory over death.
This month is a thank you for your gift of support. Receive Joseph's book, Anchored, and be strengthened by the Lord in the midst of any storm or crisis. Request today, and you will also receive a bonus CD sermon.
When the storms of life hit, and we are tossed by the wind and waves of fear, anxiety, and doubt, there is someone we can anchor our hearts to. His name is Jesus.
And for a specific gift, you will also receive the Anchored Study Companion CD album. Gain practical keys on how to experience freedom from fear, as well as unshakable peace and a confident expectation of hope for your future.
Bible hope is certainty of good happening in your future. When you wake up in the morning, especially, the devil will shoot the first thought with negative thoughts about the day. Put on the helmet of hope and say, it's going to be a great day because I'm a branch of the living vine.
Request these faith-building resources today. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org.
Now, today I'm going to share with you on the grace of God in its three dimensions, but especially the final one. But before that, let's familiarize ourselves with the grace of God. Okay, in Titus, it says this, the grace of God. Now, what is grace? Grace, regardless of how many people try to redefine grace, there are those who say, trying to redefine grace, they say grace is God's empowerment. No, grace is not defined as God's empowerment. Grace produces empowerment. And I've been preaching that for years. All right, but grace is not empowerment, though it produces empowerment. Grace is God's unearned, undeserved, unmerited favor. Can I have a good amen? Amen. Grace on our part is unearned, undeserved, unmerited, but we get it. It's a favor from God that we don't deserve. Amen. Jesus is full of grace, but His is grace to give, favor to impart that is unmerited, undeserved on our part. Okay? So remember that grace is defined as unearned, undeserved favor. And there are three dimensions. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. When did it appear? Appeared is past tense. Appeared to all men. When did the favor of God appear? The birth of Jesus. That's when the grace of God appeared. And what did the grace do? The salvation, first of all, it saves us. That brings salvation, it saves us. Number two, teaching us. This is a present dimension of grace. The past dimension, it saves us. Many of you are here today because you have been saved by the grace of God. Can I have a good amen? Now, what does the grace of God teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, here is where some people say, well, you see, we need to teach people to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and live soberly. No, it does not say that you teach. Many a times, invariably, people say, we have to teach people. We have to teach people to live. Let me tell you this. You are not as great a teacher as you think you are. It does not say that you teach. It says grace that appeared will teach. So that's the present dimension. The third dimension is very seldom, and nowadays almost you don't hear it anymore being preached. Looking for the blessed hope. The third dimension of grace is future. So we have past, it brought salvation, all right? Present, teaching us, and the future, looking for the blessed hope. Say blessed hope. And glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever I say the coming of Christ or the day of the Lord or second coming of Jesus, They all mean the same thing, and they mean this. There are two dimensions to the coming of Christ. There are two dimensions. One is secret. One is a mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul by the Lord himself. The other one is openly, visibly to every man. He will come back as a judge. Now, many a time, second coming refers to that. When he comes back as judge, the secret appearing of Christ will only be to his believers, to his bride. When he comes again, we call it the rapture, but we are all going up. And do you know what the rapture is all about? The rapture is actually us receiving our final gift that was purchased for us by Jesus' blood. Do you know that there's one final gift that you and I don't have right now? You know what is it? A brand new body. Let's read this in Philippians. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not eagerly waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe by the end of this message, you will be. Amen. We are eagerly waiting. And who wrote this? The Apostle of Grace, Paul himself. He says, we are eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So when Jesus comes again in the rapture, the first thing that will happen is that our bodies will be transformed, and he calls it our lowly bodies, will be transformed like his glorious body. So the only part that we're waiting right now, I'm talking to believers now, is the new body. Our lowly bodies, when Jesus comes again, this is a rapture, our lowly body will be conformed to his glorious body. So whether you go by the way of, I'm going to use the word death, but the Bible doesn't use the word death. It uses the word sleep for believers. Because death is not in our future. Death is in our past. So Jesus, one of the reasons he came is to conquer death and to rise from the dead bodily. Amen. He rose from the dead bodily. Hallelujah. Amen. To tell us, because I live, you will live also. Amen. Amen. And our bodies, the rapture is nothing more than you receiving your final gift, the victory that was purchased at Calvary's cross. And that's your brand new body. Oh, come on. Aren't you glad? Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says, Paul says, and Paul is an apostle of grace. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, which is so fast, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Writing to believers, all believers are going up. We shall be changed. You see, you must understand one thing. The salvation of your spirit did not depend on your obedience. Did not depend on your faithfulness. All right? What makes you think the salvation of your body depends on your obedience? It's all part of the package Jesus gave us when he died on the cross. We're just receiving our final inheritance, our body. Are you with me so far? All right, and the Bible says, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible. All right, rejoice. If your loved one has gone on ahead, don't see your loved one in the grave or cremated or whatever somewhere. Let me tell you this, God is able to get all the power by which he subdued all things. He can get even their cells over in the ocean. He's able to get them. All atoms are not lost to God. He created atoms. He'll bring them all together in the glorious body. This is the victory over death that Jesus gotten for us at the cross. Amen. And the Bible says, we shall be changed. See, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You're going to put on immortality. You know, it's immortality, you'll never die again. Next verse. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah! That's why Jesus rose from the dead bodily, to show us the victory over death. Amen? And then this is what the taunting will do when we go up. Amen. Those who are alive, when they go up, they'll say, hey, death! Where is your sting? Where is your sting? And those who are dead, they will say, oh, Hades. Hades is the Greek word for death. Hell. They will say, oh, hell! What the? Oh, Hades, oh, hell, where is your victory? as we are going up. Amen. Now, to the world, it will happen in an atomic second. We'll just disappear. But for us, it's almost like we go up in slow motion. Now, we know we are going up. Not in slow motion, but we know we're going up. The challenge will come as we go up. Death, where is your victory? Hell. Death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory? Amen. The sting of death is sin. The reason why there's death is because of sin. And the strength of sin is the law. And that's why I'm strong on preaching grace. Because the strength of sin is the law. This verse is hardly preached. Are you with me so far? You understand? Is it clear? Now, the Apostle Paul talks about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians. And he actually was writing to the Thessalonica believers. And he's writing by the Holy Spirit. Watch this. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Whenever the Bible says don't be ignorant, there's something there. If you are ignorant, you will lose out. You will lose out on the peace that you're supposed to have, the joy, the security you're supposed to experience, and you'll be robbed by the enemy. Okay? If you do not know what God wants you to know. Okay, here's I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. So he's writing to brethren, to believers, not to non-believers. And he says that concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Who are these others who have no hope? Those of the world, those without Christ. They sorrow when their loved ones die as if they have no hope. Now for us, we sorrow at the momentary, the temporal separation. But we don't sorrow like others who have no hope. Amen, church? All right, let's go on. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Next verse. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. Now listen carefully. What Paul is saying is not his idea, is not his philosophy. It is the word of the Lord. Jesus gave this revelation to Paul. And the rapture is not some figment of man's imagination. It is the word of the Lord. For this I say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Next verse. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, for those of you who say, well, I believe only those who are faithful ones, those who are specially devoted, and they always believe that they are the ones. All right? Look at these verses carefully again. Look at the previous verse. This we say to you, that we who are alive, this is the word of the Lord, that we who are faithful, no. We who are specially devoted, no. We who are alive and remain. All you got to do is be alive and remain. And you will see the dead in Christ rise first, then you will follow. All right? Will by no means precede those who are asleep. Okay, the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are what? Specially faithful? No. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Now this is the word harpazo, which means a catching away. That's the word the early fathers gave, the word rapture. Are you listening? We shall be caught up together. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You know, the 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about faith, hope, and love. In verse 3 of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians, he says your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope. So faith, hope, and love. But do you know something? By the way, we know what's faith. Faith is still being taught today. We know what's love. Love has been preached, thank God. But hope, the blessed hope, is now forgotten. Are you listening, people? In other words, people are now thinking that, oh, it's not practical to preach second coming, got different views, that kind of thing. The devil has so deceived people that they are no longer preaching something that will give them hope. Even Christians, when they look forward, they don't see the blessed hope. It's called blessed hope. In the Greek, happy hope. Hope is always future. Faith is present. You know what happened to 2 Thessalonians? 2 Thessalonians? The first chapter, in verse 3, Paul says, your faith is growing exceedingly. Your love increases, but he never mentioned hope. What happened is they lost the hope. And I'll tell you what happened. The people were waiting for the rapture. They did not know when it's going to happen. And today we see people thinking, when is it? You know, Pastor Prince, we've been waiting for a long time. We have been hearing about this since the longest time. One of the arguments they have today, well, I mean, since the longest time we've been hearing the rapture, it still never happened. Why? I'll tell you why. Peter said this in the last days. 2 Peter, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, scoffers. And they will say what? Where is the promise of his coming? Isn't that what we are hearing today? Come on, where's the promise of his coming? Huh? Another coming again, preaching. What's this? So these are scoffers. And the Bible says, so since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's what they say. Everything is normal. You know, there's no second coming. And the Bible says, drop down, this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing of water, and in the water by which the world then that existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire to the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Next verse. But beloved, now he's writing to believers, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. To God, God doesn't live in time. God created time. We live in time. All right? God created time. Jesus died 2,000 years ago. God says 2 days ago. Okay? When you pray and God says, wait a minute, work it out. No, I'm just teasing. All right? So, why does it seem that God is delaying his son's coming? Okay? Why? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but it's long-suffering towards us. Not willing, oh, I love this, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why he's delaying? He wants as many safe as possible. And we turn his delay into something like, you see, you know? No, all the more it confirms the love of God. Now we go to 2 Thessalonians. We'll close one passage. And this is the passage, 2 Thessalonians, second letter. When Paul wrote to them, he talks about faith that grows, love that's abounding, but they have lost their hope. And that's where the church is today. There's faith teaching, there's love, but we have lost the hope. And hope here is not the positive expectation of good in your future that I preach also. I'm talking about the blessed hope of the Lord. Many a times the word hope in the New Testament is used of the coming of the Lord. All right? And he says to them, now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. What happened between the first letter and the second letter is that the people were waiting and they thought it would happen almost like the next day. It didn't happen. The next 2 days. But the truth of the rapture will happen. Now, the day of Christ, don't forget, he'll come back and judge the earth. So in other words, they're saying, hey, wait a minute, I thought the rapture would happen before Christ comes back. So these people are writing to them saying, Christ has come already. So there are people today teaching that there's no such thing as second coming of Christ. He has come already. It's called the preterist. So he's warning them about that. Next verse. Let no one deceive you by any means. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day will not come. The day of Christ will not come. That day is referring to when he comes to judge the earth. It must happen after the rapture, right? So they thought it happened already and they are left behind. So he's telling them, let no one deceive you. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worship. Now, let no one deceive you. Look at verse 3 again, by any means. That day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed. Actually, this is not very encouraging because if you read it, he's trying to tell them not to be shaken in mind, not to be troubled in spirit, whether someone talks to them or send them a letter. And then he tells them, I'll tell you this, that day of Christ when it comes to judge will not happen until the falling away happens first. What an ending to the church. Many of them will fall away. So some preachers love this verse because the falling away will happen. They prophesy it. The falling away will happen. The falling. I always read this and I felt something is out. Let me show you, okay? That falling away is one word in Greek, apostasia, apostasia in Greek. Do you know the word apostasia where we get our English word? Where somebody comes to church regularly and one day he doesn't come anymore, people call him an apostate. Apostate means someone who departs, someone who left the faith. Apostasy. And here, apostasia is a Greek noun. And the Greek noun, apostasia, is only used twice in the New Testament. One of them is used here in Acts 21. They are talking to Paul saying, they have been informed about you, that you teach all the Jews who are among the Gentiles. James is talking to Paul and saying, you teach the Jews among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, not to walk. That's what they blame me. They say that I'm saying the same thing, but Paul is not teaching that. And the word forsake Moses is the word apostasia. It's made of two Greek words. Look up here. Apo, A-P-O, means from. Histami, your antihistamines. Histami is the Greek word means stand. So antihistamine, to anti the stand of that infection or whatever it is. Now the thing is that apo means, histami means stand, that means depart. All right? Depart from. So many of us, we think that falling away from the faith will happen first. But let's look at the word departure. Greek scholars say the word apostasia can also be departure, departing. What is that? The rapture. Now, let's put the rapture here. Go back to the verse. Let no one deceive you by any means. Don't forget, Paul is trying to encourage them not to be shaken in their mind, their spirit, their hearts, right? Right? He's not going to crush them further. So let's say, he says, let no one deceive you, for that day of Christ, when it comes to judge, will not come unless the departure happens first. The departing happens first. Then the Antichrist is revealed. We won't see the Antichrist. He won't show his head until we are out of here. He cannot, because we have the authority in heaven to do some things. I believe he's alive. No, I don't think he's in this service. I'm just saying, I think he's alive today. All right, somewhere. Okay? He'll be like Antichrist. Try to copy Christ. All right? Son of Satan, so to speak. He'll try to copy Christ. And Christ will come and judge him in the final part of the day of Christ when he comes again. Now, listen carefully. If you put rapture here, unless the departing comes first, it all becomes good news. Come on. Good news? Yeah. Let me close with this, people. In the last upper room, Jesus said to his disciples this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You may have loved ones that have gone on and all that. Listen, Jesus said this, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm glad he mentioned mansion, not huts. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what do you say? I will come again and receive you to myself. Now, this is not the coming to judge the earth. This is a rapture. I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Give him praise. Praise the Lord.
Wendy and I are so glad you are watching this today. We love you and we are always praying the Lord's shalom peace over you and your loved ones. In these times, it is so easy to be overwhelmed by anxiety and fears. Things we hear on the news or read on social media can leave us feeling unsure and discouraged. That is why this month, for your gift of any amount, I'm making available Anchored, a powerful book to help you find peace in the storms of life.
If your mind is flooded by anxious thoughts about your future or your health, the Lord wants to set you free. Will you choose to anchor your heart on Jesus' perfect love for you today? When you do, I believe all your negative thoughts will be flushed out and an unshakable peace will replace every anxiety.
Amen. If you're in the midst of a storm right now, you can get anchored on the Lord's love for you as you meditate on the 28 powerful thoughts in this book. So request this resource. It's going to bless you and anyone you know who need the Lord's divine peace right now. Thank you for your support, and God bless you.
This month is a thank you for your gift of support. Receive Joseph's book, Anchored, and be strengthened by the Lord in the midst of any storm or crisis. Request today, and you will also receive a bonus CD sermon.
When the storms of life hit, and we are tossed by the wind and waves of fear, anxiety, and doubt, there is someone we can anchor our hearts to. His name is Jesus.
And for a specific gift, you will also receive the Anchored Study Companion CD album. Gain practical keys on how to experience freedom from fear, as well as unshakable peace and a confident expectation of hope for your future.
Bible hope is
certainty of good happening in your future. When you wake up in the morning, especially, the devil will shoot the first thought with negative thoughts about the day. Put on the helmet of hope and say, it's going to be a great day because I'm a branch of the living vine.
Request these faith-building resources today. Call us toll-free at 877-769-5433 or visit us at josephprince.org.
It is on my heart today to pray for those of you who are facing financial challenges. Maybe you are struggling to support your family. Maybe you are in debt and you can't see your way out. I want to pray for supernatural cancellation of debt for you right now and for you to experience God's provision. Would you lift your hands as I pray for you now? Father, I thank you for everyone receiving this prayer right now. And I thank you, Father, that you love them. You know where they are at financially. You know those who are in debt and those who have made mistakes in the past and overextended themselves. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name to supernaturally cancel their debts by your grace. Grant them their financial breakthrough and give them the wisdom to steward their finances. Father, be their supply during this time and bless them to be a blessing to others. Cause them to have more than enough to be able to be a channel of blessing to many and to establish your kingdom, Father, on earth, in Jesus' name. Now say, Father, I receive this breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to keep tuning in to our broadcast and you can watch our program online at josephprince.tv. It is a great platform to consume the gospel and allow the Lord to take you from lack to abundant supply in every area. And with josephprince.tv, you can watch our broadcast on all your devices 24/7. Sign up for an account today and we'll send you an encouraging teaching resource as my gift to you. God bless you.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.